This is an Energy Sport podcast. Insightful, in-depth and entertaining sports content from Napier to you. This is the Fantasy Ramble, the best student-run FPL show in the country. Join our panel as they take you through the biggest fixtures from each Premier League game week, giving you their advice on how to succeed in your FPL mini-leagues. Expect in-depth discussion, wild takes and plenty of laughs right here on the Fantasy Ramble. Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble, Energy Sports flagship FPL show. My name is Jack Donnelly and as always I'm joined by some of Energy Sports' finest ahead of the next batch of Premier League fixtures. We've got the weatherman and the manager of the self-proclaimed meme team in fantasy, Struan Garvey. Hello.
Hello, I am here representing the meme team.
Right, give the audience a rundown of what you've just done.
So, this season I've decided in fantasy that I'm not getting anywhere. You know, if you're not first, you're last, as the great quote went, and I'm not coming anywhere near the top of the table. I'm not even coming into the top four, so European places next season are also a no-go. So I decided that a couple of weeks ago, it was myself, Cameron and Taylor on, and I played a wild card and I played some funny players. I don't mean to say funny, but I played the likes of, you know, your Xhakas, your Dunks, who don't really get you many points, you know, it's just funny. And last week I played Joelinton as well, of course, who's not the most clinical of strikers. And I decided at this point in the season, that's what I'm getting the most kick out of my team is the players who you don't expect to get anything. So I have now completely transformed my team. I've taken a minus 48 point hit, which, you know, often we debate, you know, is, oh, I'm taking a minus four, you know, is it worth taking minus four to bring this guy up? Minus 48 points, which I think puts me dead last in the table before this game week even kicks off, but I'm okay with that at this point. And I'm just hoping now that my meme team can get me some points at the end of the season and see if one week if I can get a higher point total than anyone else in the league with the meme team.
The thing is, though, you
or should I say the dream team?
You weren't even too far away from Taylor ahead of you. I think looking at it just now, you're 33 points behind before your minus 48 takes shape. So, I mean, you could have at least put on a charge to finish above somebody who's still playing the game, and now you're on track to finish below someone who's not played the game for weeks, and that's Sean McGill.
I'm okay with it, to be honest. As I said, like, if I'm not going to be top or even at least in the top four, I'm not really that bothered about my position. You tend to forget the mid-table, you know, if you're not in the European places or if you're not in the relegation zone, even though I'll be there, you just sort of forget where everyone else is in the league, don't you? It's just sort of that jumble. It's often where Arsenal are placed at the moment, so that's yeah, that's my role with this.
You know what, part of me has to respect you for it. I mean you've just...
I don't think I'll ever do this again in fantasy, because with a bit of luck, I'll actually be competing in my... Even in, like, my domestic leagues with my pals and stuff, I'm not that high or close to them. In the grand scheme of things as well, in our big, massive league, I'm absolutely nowhere near it. So it's just a bit of a laugh, really, at this stage. Minus 48 points.
We'll be coming to you at the end of the season. You'll be like, Craig Levein, regrets? No, it's a bit of a laugh, isn't it?
It's a laugh, isn't it?
Also joining us on today's show, we have got our Hearts correspondent who has a newfound love for Brighton and Hove Albion, Jamie McIntosh. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are we all doing?
Delightful, sir. How are you?
Yes, very good. It's a smashing day in the capital and I've had a very productive day. I've had my swim and I had a game of tennis today with a mate of mine, seeing as the weather was so nice. And come back a bit red in the face. I think I may have caught some of the sun this afternoon, which is always nice.
Absolutely. Bloody hell, somebody's been very active. All I've done is power wash my fence.
Yeah, that's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Instruction of my father. So talk to the audience, actually, about you've kind of had a bit of a documented history with Brighton more recently on this podcast. So who was it that you brought in last week as one of 12 people to include them in your team?
I remember his first name. Jacob Moder, I think his name is. He scored against England. Dan Brighton have had their injury problems at the back. Adam Webster, Dan Byrne, both injured. They moved Joel Veltman into centre half and in a back five. And they decided to play Jacob Moder at left wing back. And I've seen him a couple of times and was very impressed with him. So I decided to bring him in to my fantasy Premier League team at the very cheap price of around about £4 million, I believe, which is just about as cheap as you can get in this game, I think.
He's 5 million just now.
Oh, is he 5? Maybe he was 5 then. My apologies.
I mean, it's an he's literally 0.0% selected. He is such a niche player that it doesn't even register the tiny percentile of people that own him. I mean,
we've all got a group chat together, actually. There's 8 of us. 8 of us in it.
Just did a mass message just looking for someone else who included Jakob Modder in their team.
He's not in the meme team, I can confirm.
Struan wasn't one of the eight. He was not one of the eight. I mean, I wish I had that kind of brain to be able to just pick up those unbelievably niche players. I mean, it didn't pan out how you wanted, though, because he's marked in as a midfielder.
Yeah, it's a bit shit, really. I was hoping I would get clean sheet points. Well, you get one, I think, for a midfielder, don't you? But, considering he was kind of playing in defence, I was a little disappointed when I saw he was a midfielder. But he gets forward quite a lot, and he has got an eye for goal. He did have a few shots against... Who were they playing?
Everton.
Against Everton in that 0-0 draw. And he nearly got one on target, but not quite. So one of these times, I think he'll test the goalkeeper, and he might even find the back of the net before the end of the season. There you go. There's a big shout for you. Jakob Modder to score before the end of the season. Save it. Save this.
Well, there's a clip. There's a clip of he's just like any Brighton player then. If he's just having shots, he might get one on target eventually.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, maybe he's at a disadvantage playing for Brighton because they don't score many goals. But if he was playing for any other team, he would score at least one. But
at least
one. We'll see. Touch and go.
At least one. It's a high ceiling. Now that we're all caught up, we are going to take a look at the biggest three fixtures from this game week in our first segment, Premium Picks. And this is, of course, Premium Picks, where we dissect and talk about the three biggest games from the batch of 10, or sometimes less, in a Premier League game week. We are going to be starting with the first game coming tonight on the day of recording. We're recording on Friday, as usual, and it's coming at Goodison Park as Everton hosts Spurs. For Spurs' first game of two this game week, I don't really understand how it's panned out that Spurs have two games and Palace aren't playing. Who knows? But neither team had a great week last weekend. Everton drew 0-0 away to Brighton, which got Jamie two lovely clean sheets for his Brighton players. While Spurs lost 3-1 away to Manchester United in what was a bit of a catastrophe for Jose Mourinho. I suppose the biggest place to start, Struan, is no DCL. No Dominic Calvert-Lewin for this match. A groin injury is keeping the striker out until the 23rd of April, I believe it is marked on FPL. I mean, we all know how important he's been for Everton this season, and especially in fantasy, he's been fantastic. So, would we look to bring someone else in, like a Richarlison up front, or would we maybe just look to avoid Everton in this fixture altogether?
It's a bit of a tough one, because I think you'd have to expect Tottenham. This is their sort of rebound fixture, you know. They've got something to prove against Everton following, I think it was the 5-4 the scoreline was in the FA Cup. That was an incredible game. So I think they've got something to prove against Everton. Of course, in the past couple of weeks as well, they blew the 2-1 lead to Newcastle and then blew a 1-0 lead to Man United. And I think they've just got to respond this week. I think they really do. I think Jose is under so much pressure at the moment. I think Tottenham are maybe 6 or 7 points away from the top four at the moment. And if you look at the teams who are sort of around the same league position, Liverpool, Chelsea, West Ham, Leicester, Man United, they're all just in such better form at the moment anyway. And I think this is the type of game that obviously Everton are there as well, and I think Tottenham really need to rebound. So I'd be a bit reluctant to play an Everton striker up front here, because Richarlison's one of those ones who when he turns up, he's absolutely fantastic, but he'll tend to go 4 or 5 game weeks in a row with getting basically nothing, and then 2 or 3 in a row he'll have just play a couple of blinders. I'd maybe be tempted to go for an Everton defender if they're going to get something from a set piece, because I think Tottenham are pretty weak defensively. So maybe somebody like a Michael Keane or maybe a Ben Godfrey could possibly come in, or maybe a Luka Digne.
I suppose he'd be taking those free kick deliveries if it wasn't someone like Rodriguez or someone further up the field. But I don't know necessarily. I think I might still kind of have the faith in Everton this this week. I know you said Spurs will be wanting the rebound, but they've not really had that. They've not really had any sort of fight in them for weeks now. I mean, we've never really seen them kind of battle
they,
back.
They don't really have fight at all. They tend to go down by the slightest of touches, we've noticed this season, the players, despite what Jose Mourinho has to say about them.
And however, however many ways that they're not feeding sons or something like that, it was...
Oh, honestly. Because he was serious when he made that comment.
Oh, well, Mourinho took it to heart, clearly.
I think that was just so we didn't need to talk about the game, to be honest. There was a wee deflection there, wasn't there?
It's always a strategy from Mourinho, whether it's in the game or in the press conferences. He can't have both, so you pick the press conference in that instance. Jamie, I mentioned it just on the way in. This is the first of Spurs' two games in this game week. They play Southampton, I believe, either Wednesday or Thursday next week. This game week's all over the place because of the FA Cup semi-finals, so it's an extended one. First game's tonight, and the last game of the 10 is on Thursday, which means we're not getting a break from Premier League football. Good Lord. How do you think the Mourinho balances the team? Do you think he's going to have a very samey kind of starting 11 compared to what's going to play on Wednesday or Thursday against Southampton, or do you think he'll start kind of switching it about? Should he have the kind of the capability to do so?
Yeah, hopefully he switches it about a wee bit. I would like to see Gareth Bale involved starting one of these two games. Mm-hmm. They're obviously they're out of Europe, so they don't have that to kind of worry about. But I think the squad is kind of broad enough to at least rotate a little bit. I'm just looking at the bench from the Manchester United game. Guys like Harry Winks, Tanganga, Sissoko, Lamela, Carlos Vinicius, Bale, Dele Alli, Alderweireld were all on the bench. So, yeah, you know, I think they would be able to come in and do a half decent job. I'm not saying they're all world beaters, but I think they've got relatively solid enough bench. And I think that's probably the thing that's disappointed a lot of people with Spurs this season, is they think that the squad is probably underachieving. It's not the best squad in the world, but it's got quite a lot of talent in it, and under Jose Mourinho it probably has underachieved. So a lot of people are kind of scrutinising his managerial tactics because they're of the impression that this Spurs squad should be doing a lot better. So yeah, I think the one player I would like to see feature in this game week would be Gareth Bale, but I don't expect him to start both games. I think it's going to be one or the other, or none.
Or none at all. It's just seeing some names there. It kind of strikes me so strangely that Toby Alderweireld was one of the kind of top central defenders in the league a couple of seasons back, and now he's been reduced to the bench for the likes of Eric Dier and Davinson Sanchez. It just that seems a real kind of fall from grace for the man who I once thought very highly of. What about this game specifically? I mean, I know we kind of touched on Spurs' kind of lack of fight, but they've only really got a Carabao Cup final to kind of play for now. Could we kind of see them just put all their eggs in preparation towards that and kind of neglect the other fixtures they've got coming up? Or do we think there's going to be a kind of late push for a top four battle from Spurs?
I think that Carabao Cup is absolutely massive to Spurs this season. And I think for, you know, a number of reasons, you know, we all make the jokes that, you know, Spurs haven't won trophies in recent years. But I think when you take into consideration this season, in the way that at one point at the start of the season, Tottenham were tipped for being one of the teams to win the title. You know, Jose was back. There was a lot of praise, and I think rightly so. Tottenham were very good. And then in the Europa League, I think they were the favourites initially past the group stage, or they were at least one of them at that point in the competition. And I think almost that Carabao Cup, although they were progressing through it, it never really seemed like much. But now, as the season's gone on, they've fallen away from the Premier League. You know, they could still easily make top four, I believe, but I think that's a tough ask now, obviously completely out of Europe. And I think this League Cup, I think it means a lot now that they can win a trophy. Reports have come out in the last week, you know, that Harry Kane wants to leave, which I don't think he will, because I don't think anybody will be able to afford him in the summer anyway. And I don't think Levy will really let it happen. But I think if you can win a trophy, even if it is the League Cup, you know, I think that's massive for the confidence of the team, just to get them winning and almost to keep Jose where he is. You know, if he can deliver Tottenham's first trophy in about 12 years, regardless of whether it's the League Cup or not, I think that is a massive success for them. And especially the way this season has sort of been up and down. You know, one minute Gareth Bale is back as well, and then the next minute he's a Real Madrid reject sort of situation. I think it's absolutely massive for them.
Let's talk about Kane for a second, Jamie, because obviously he's the most expensive forward in the game, but he's got two games against teams who haven't had the soundest of defences in recent weeks. So is Harry Kane the kind of main man for this game week, considering he's got both games to play? And he probably will play in both.
Yeah, I think he is. I'll give you a wee spoiler alert, and he's got the armband for me this week, solely because of the double game week. Yeah. You know, I look at the rest of the team. I think Arsenal and Man United have got favourable fixtures. So have Chelsea, actually, to be fair. They're all at home. I don't actually have any City players in my team, but they're playing Aston Villa, I think, aren't they? So yeah. Away from home, it's, you know, you'd probably expect them to win that game, but I'm not sure I would be rushing to bring players in, especially with Pep Roulette that we know so much about on this podcast. Kane's got the armband for me solely because of the double game week. Personally, I could see him scoring in both, but you know, he's one of the top goal scorers in the league this season, so I'm not really sure that is an awfully big statement to make. Yeah. That you could see Harry Kane scoring in both these games. But yeah, he's got the armband for me. Just to quickly pick up on Struan's point there before we move on from Tottenham, you speak about the Carabao Cup being massive to Spurs for delivering, you know, the first trophy in a number of years. The Carabao Cup, or the League Cup, whatever you want to call it, is it's not really seen as much of a trophy, is it, by supporters? No. Really,
yeah,
I think
totally.
The FA Cup is different. But do you think the supporters would really be that bothered if they win the Carabao Cup, especially when they're not going to be at the stadium?
I think that does probably make a difference, to be fair, being at the stadium. Because no matter what, like, if you win a trophy being at the stadium, it's a great atmosphere, it doesn't matter what it is. But I guess if you're sitting at home and you win this, you'd almost probably be more happy the fact that you've beaten Man City rather than, you know, there's a League Cup to take away from it. I think it's almost more of what it would mean to the team rather than the actual trophy itself. You know, it'd maybe give them a bit more confidence. As I said, it'll maybe convince players like Kane and Son, who have both been absolutely, you know, surreal this season, to maybe suggest, you know, yeah, maybe we do want to stick around at Spurs. These guys are capable of winning a big trophy. A trophy. Because I think City have won it 4 years in a row at this point. It really is like a throwaway trophy, in all honesty. Like, I don't think I could name the last 10 winners of it going back in time. I think even the FA Cup, in a way, is losing a lot of its prestige. And I think that makes the League Cup even worse by that logic.
It is, but not for the supporters, the FA Cup. So, you know, the FA Cup, I still think matters to supporters, and probably matters to English players as well, who have, you know, grown up with the FA Cup obviously being much bigger, and probably dreamt as a kid of you know, winning the FA Cup, lifting the FA Cup at Wembley. You know, it's the same in Scotland, really. You know, the Scottish Cup is still considered massive, you know, one of the oldest cups and all that. Whereas the League Cup, they've changed the format, it's group stages, nobody's really arsed anymore, you know. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting point that, you know, I completely agree that if Mourinho can deliver the Carabao Cup for Spurs, it is massive, and, you know, it is a success for the club. But I'm not sure it will really get him very far with regards to the supporters, you know.
I think the three of us are actually in quite a good position here in the fact that from our English team, we have all had Jose Mourinho as a manager, and he did win trophies. You know, he won far more important trophies with Chelsea, with three Premier League titles. And at United, had the Europa League was probably his trophy of note.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think, like, from my point of view, from a United perspective, I don't really think that did help United as such in the long term. You know, at the time it was cool, you know, Man United won the Europa League, you know, sacrificed the league and stuff like that. But it's not really like there was progress at that point onwards. And as we saw with Chelsea, you know, he won the league in 2014-15. And then the next season it just went to goose heading.
It did go to goose heading. Well, I think the one thing I can say about that season was, I mean, Chelsea won the League Cup that same season, in the 2014-15 season, the same time they won the league title with Mourinho. And that was a really good team, a really good Chelsea team, the likes of Diego Costa, Cesc Fabregas, Courtois playing his best football in goal for Chelsea at that point in time. Hazard was brilliant. Oscar was kind of in the best kind of time of his career. You had like almost kind of resurgence of John Terry coupling Gary Cahill at the back. It was just a good Jose Mourinho team. And
did
that,
Chelsea beat Spurs in that League Cup?
It was,
final,
I was
actually.
It was 2-0. It was an own goal, and then Costa scored either side of the half. And I just remember that. I remember watching it, obviously, and being really, really happy with it, because I think A, because it was Spurs in the final, and it's always good getting one over Spurs. And I think B was because of the way we'd been playing already that season, and kind of building up. So I think it's a trophy that's good when it's representative of the season you're having. I suppose if you're having a good season and you win the Carabao Cup, it's probably more. Like, you probably feel it more, you probably appreciate it more because, oh, it's kind of representative of how we were playing at the time. But I think if Spurs fans do go on to beat City in the final and they kind of look back in the season 10 years from now, they'll go, oh yeah, we won a trophy. Like, yeah, but it didn't seem like we would have won a trophy based on how we'd been in the league in Europe that season.
Yeah, I think, even though if they do come out with the League Cup, it will possibly be overshadowed. I mean, at the end of the day, I think you'd have to fancy City massively in that final as
well.
Especially if they are going for the quadruple, that sort of, and their entire squad sort of has that been there, done that mentality here. So I think it is a bit different with Tottenham though, just based on how long they've gone without a trophy. You know, is the League Cup what you want? Especially when you can take into consideration under Pochettino, Tottenham were in a Champions League final and competing for the Premier League. And now it's like, you know, it was like the trophy then was absolutely huge, until now the trophy now is potentially a League Cup.
Well, I think we can definitely say we've spoken far too much about Tottenham and Jose Mourinho than any one of us would have liked to, starting this podcast. So we're going to get into some score predictions for this game, Everton versus Tottenham. Jamie, how do you see it finishing?
2-2.
Oh, nice.
As I say, I've given Captain Kane the armband. I think Spurs will score. And, you know, it's interesting. I know it's probably quite a bold pick to suggest that Everton will score a couple of goals without their star striker. But I just don't really rate this Spurs team that much, you know. So I think they'll score, but I think they'll also concede. I could have easily gone 2-1 Spurs, but as I say, I could see Everton giving them a game. And I think Everton will take confidence from that kind of cup tie where obviously they had a lot of joy in front of goal. So I think hopefully more goals in this one.
And who do you reckon is going to be the key man? Is it going to be Harry Kane?
Kane, yeah. Kane for me.
Struan, how about yourself?
I'll go with a 2-0 Tottenham. I said they'll have a bounce back, and I'll also go with Harry Kane, who's actually he's the highest scorer and assist maker in the Premier League this season, which is pretty ridiculous, actually, how good he is.
It's pretty ridiculous how good he is, and considering their league position, they really...
Yeah, considering how poor Tottenham have been this season, like, I know we talk about players carrying a team, but... oofed.
Well, just to be different, I did have 2-0 Spurs, but I think I'll go 2-1, just because I've taught myself into believing that Alderweireld should be in that team, even though he's not been the best recently, but I like him. And I think Everton, they'll get a scrappy goal, like they'll get a header off a corner or just a deflection going past Lloris or something like that. And no surprise to hear that I'm also going with Harry Kane for the key man in this fixture. And he will be against Southampton as well, most likely. Let's move on for our second of our three premium picks this week. We're heading to Leeds as they're hosting Liverpool on Monday night at 8 o'clock. Leeds got a massive result in their last win, the last weekend. Got a 2-1 win away at the Etihad over City. Liverpool themselves got a win hosting Aston Villa at Anfield with a 2-1 win for them as well. Jamie, it was a massive result for Leeds last week, but their run hasn't really let up. It's not really going to be easy for this Leeds squad to play City and then Liverpool back-to-back.
No, of course not. Yeah, you know, they did very well, obviously, last week. It was a massive victory for them away at the Etihad, especially with 10 men. Obviously had a big bearing on our last man standing competition.
Oh, did it? Oh, interesting.
But there you go. I think, you know, back at home now, this will give them a good opportunity. And I think they'll fancy the chances, you know. I think this Liverpool team are vulnerable. Obviously just had that game during the week. But again, probably much like Spurs, I would expect Liverpool to come into this game and try and get that bounce back. I think they'll have a bit of fire in the belly and they'll probably try to take that out on Leeds. Obviously a big game as well, really, historically. All these kind of Leeds versus, you know, United, Liverpool, Chelsea, whatever, always been big games in the past when obviously Leeds were back in the Premier League previously. So it should be a good game, actually. Looking forward to that one.
I mean, you harken back to the opening day of the season where it was these two teams in the reverse fixture at Anfield.
Of course, yeah.
And it produced an earmarker for what should have been an absolutely fantastic Premier League season considering how it panned out. A 4-3 victory in the end for Liverpool. not quite lived up to the, what the season's been, but nevertheless, could we see another classic like that unfolding? Or considering kind of where both teams are now, do we think it's going to be a lot more kind of conservative and kind of held back compared to what it was back then when it was frantic, fast-paced and just open in terms of defences?
Yeah, I probably expect another few goals in this game. I'm just not really a fan of either defence at the moment. Certainly not in the middle of defence. So, and I think they're very good going forward, both teams. We know Liverpool haven't quite been as good as they have been last season or in previous seasons, but I still think they've got players in attack that if you give them chances, which this Leeds defence probably will, I think they'll put a few chances away eventually. So, Leeds have got to be careful. But yeah, I see goals in it just solely because I don't really rate either defence.
Struan, we'll talk about Liverpool just quickly here. That was them knocked out of Europe after a fairly dogged performance from Real Madrid on Tuesday night. Or was it Tuesday or was it Wednesday? It was Wednesday, sorry, my mistake. So, given that they have literally got nothing to play for apart from the league now, and they will want to finish in that top four, they will want to be playing in the Champions League again next season. So do you expect kind of Liverpool, who are already a fairly intense team at times, to really up that intensity for the final seven games of the season?
Yeah, I think it'll be, they'll just go all for it now. As you say, this is all they've got, and I do fancy them to get there. They've got a really good run of fixtures coming up as well. I think they've got quite easy games, I think, because when we got to the 19 game mark, I think they played quite a lot of their harder games early on. I think Man United are perhaps the only team they've got left who are within that sort of top six sort of area. Possibly another game against West Ham, but I think they've played them twice. So, yeah, I think Liverpool do have a really good run. And as we say, if they can get past Leeds here, I think that'll really set them up for it. And especially when they're probably taking into consideration that the other teams who are there, Man United, Chelsea, have also got football outside of the Premier League, mm-hmm. with the Champions League, Europa League, and then FA Cup. So I think they'll probably try and take advantage now of only having to focus on the league. And it'll probably help them with their fitness, to be honest, only having the one competition they'll focus on.
And what do you reckon then? Because we were kind of talking about it just before we started recording, and there's been a lot of comments about players in that Liverpool team. I mean, particularly their heavy hitters. I mean, the likes of Sadio Mane and players like that who have come under a lot of criticism kind of recently. And you said it yourself, you've seen some Liverpool player, some fans of Liverpool just kind of say they're almost done with players like Mane and stuff at the moment just because they've not been performing at the same level as they were last season. So do you expect this to be a kind of almost a period of redemption for these kind of players, being able to step up and kind of prove their doubters wrong?
Yeah, I think it'll have to be. I think it's very unfortunate that the top players, they're allowed to have an off season, but I think the problem with Liverpool this season is so many of the top players are having an off season that you can't really just forget that Mane's having a bad one, because Firmino's also having a bad one. And then by his own standards, Alexander-Arnold's not having a great season. And then in the midfield, players like Wijnaldum haven't been up to their best, etc. Obviously, the defenders are basically missing. So I think that's sort of just all culminated together. But this is really their opportunity now to say, you don't need to sign another player in the summer. I'm the left winger, I'm the right back, I'm the whatever position that you need to go into the future with.
So let's see how this one's going to pan out then. Struan, what are you predicting this one to finish as?
I think I'm going to go with a 3-1 to Liverpool.
Okay.
Because I do think Leeds will get a goal by some form. I'd love it to be another 4-3, I really would. But I think I'll go for 3-1. Because I think Leeds suit Liverpool the way that they go at it. I think on the break, Liverpool will just be too much for them. I think this will be a return for Mane. I'm going to make him the star man, the one to watch here.
Lovely stuff. Jamie, how about yourself?
Yeah, 2-1 Liverpool for me. I did say I think there'll be goals. So, both teams to score in this one for me. But Liverpool to just probably be a little more clinical and Leeds probably to make a few more defensive errors than Liverpool as well.
I, personally, am going to go for a 2-2. I think I was really happy to kind of see Leeds do that, and I kind of caught highlights of the game, kind of what looked into how Leeds had played, and they'd kind of really done well against City, and I have a feeling they'll want to carry that on, and I feel like Bielsa is the kind of manager to instill that spirit, fighting spirit and capability. And he'd probably be saying, look, if you can do it against City, you can do it against Liverpool. Like, there's no reason to suggest why you couldn't go, why you couldn't welcome the champions and get a result. I think players like Jack Harrison are going to have a really good game. I think he'd be a potential pickup if you wanted to risk a Leeds player in this one, because obviously on paper you would say, oh, Liverpool get it, but considering form and everything like that, you might want to look for some wild card options potentially. Jack Harrison might be a good shout. You might have Patrick Bamford already in your team. I wouldn't move him out just on the off chance. But that being said, I also do have Sadio Mane down as my key player, Struan. I'm the same as you. I think he could kind of get himself back into the forefront of people's minds in terms of, oh, we kind of forgot how good he was this season. So yeah, that's I'll settle on a 2-2, and it'll blow up in my face when Leeds win 5-0. Let's move on to the final game of the three that we're going to talk about. And to be honest, when I was earmarking premium picks for the segment, there were the two games that we've discussed already. They were kind of the two biggest. But after that, there wasn't a great deal of quality fixtures up and down the league. So I've settled on this one just because of it could potentially provide an upset in Leicester versus West Brom being played on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. At the King Power Stadium, Leicester lost 3-2 the last weekend away to West Ham. West Brom got a really, really good 3-0 win at home to Southampton, obviously having scored 5 against Chelsea 2 weeks ago. Struan, Leicester have kind of been dragged from a fairly comfortable position in third into more of a battle for that fourth spot in the third spot, I suppose you would say, in the top four battle. And they really do have a chance of bottling top four for the second season in a row, while West Brom are putting up a real fight in terms of their own survival in this division. Could we see an upset in this game?
I think there's potential. I mean, I think the fact that West Brom have scored 8 goals in their last 2 games against Chelsea and Southampton is absolutely ludicrous. I think the fact that Cam Robson then scored against a team that wasn't called Chelsea is even more incredible than that. So, I'd love West Brom to get something from here. I really like it when a relegation team who, even with all the big Sam memes and stuff like that, you know, a team who've basically been written off for a few weeks now by, I think, everybody, if they can make this late surge at the end here, I'd absolutely love it. As for Leicester, I don't really have too much of an affection to Leicester. You know, I'd like them to get top four, because I guess amongst the top four candidates, they'd be seen as the underdogs. But then given how well West Ham have done, I think if there's anyone going to make the top four, I'd like it to be them over Leicester. Mm. So, yeah, part of me also thinks Leicester might have an eye on that FA Cup, because I think they've got a really favourable semi-final against Southampton. And then, of course, we always say in a final, it's a 50-50. You know, it will be Chelsea and Man City, which are two fantastic teams. But I think Brendan Rodgers and Leicester, you know, if they go all out for it, they might get that. So I don't know if that's maybe playing in the back of their minds as well at the moment in that, you know, do we get top four? You know, what's more important, top four or the FA Cup?
Mm.
And for a team like Leicester, I think that's a really tough decision to make.
Jamie, what about yourself? How do you see this one playing out? Because obviously you'll have kind of picked up on how West Brom had played a couple of weeks ago when they battered our Chelsea 5-2. Another really good result against Southampton last weekend, as I said. So what do you expect from them? Because we know how clinical Big Sam is at getting teams out of a horrible position at the bottom of the table and saving them. But could it maybe be a bit too little too late for West Brom at this point?
Well, it's one hell of a task. You know, it's 8 points. But I think they probably need something from this game. We keep touching on how Fulham are up against Newcastle on the last day of the season, and you know, they might just come down to if West Brom can get themselves in range, and you know, maybe if they can pick up 3 points and the other two draw, then you know, West Ham manage to leapfrog the pair of them. But you know, I find it extremely unlikely. Not necessarily just you know, to be fair, actually, I'm just looking at the table here. I'm saying it's just between Newcastle, Fulham, and West Brom. Burnley and Brighton are only a point above Newcastle now, so, you know, I mean, they could easily get sucked into it. So, you know, it goes without saying that West Brom need to put a few wins together, but you've got to start somewhere, and that's 2 wins in the last two. I think the game plan for this will probably be very similar to the one that was at Stamford Bridge. They'll play on the counter. I think that Leicester defence is, well, I thought it was all right, but, you know, it's shipped 3 goals last week at the London Stadium, so yeah, It's maybe a little vulnerable, but Leicester are in very good goal scoring form themselves, and that West Brom defence isn't great. So, yeah, probably another game that I could see both teams scoring in, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I definitely see both teams scoring. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a great game, personally. I just don't really see it being much more than a bit of a battle. I think it'll be quite a slogfest, if I'm being completely honest. I just see both teams kind of fighting hard in the trenches more than actually trying to play some nice football, because we know that they can. Both teams in West Brom have shown that more recently, Leicester, throughout the season. I think Leicester are still being hampered a lot by their injuries. I think James Justin and Harvey Barnes still being unavailable is massive for them in terms of just their own security for being able to win games. And the likes of Soyuncu, he's out. Cengiz Undar was a fantastic option off the bench for them on the right-hand side. It's been tough. It's been tough for Leicester, and I generally do. I don't know how much I trust them to finish where they are in the top four, and I think a slip up here could potentially damn them, especially if the likes of West Ham and Chelsea, who do have more favourable fixtures, get results. So we'll come to score predictions. I'll say mine just now. I think it is going to be a 1-1 draw. I think Sam Johnson's going to be the key player for that, because, Jamie, you said it there, Leicester have been in good goal scoring form. Or it's more to the point that Kelechi Iheanacho has been in good goal scoring form. But Sam Johnson's shown throughout the season that he's kind of playing, he should be playing above kind of the level of West Ham, and with complete respect to that club. I think he'll do very, very well in this game, as he has done throughout the season. And I think he'll limit those clear goal scoring opportunities. He might let one slip past him, as I've predicted, but I think he'll be massive for West Brom in this game. And I don't think there's going to be a key asset for FPL, because I think it's just going to be such a rubbish game, and it's not going to be won in terms of point scorers in FPL. It's going to be won or secured for a draw in the midfield by the kind of battlers, you know, like Ndidi and players like that. Struan, how about yourself? How do you see it finishing up?
I'm going to go with a 2-0 West Brom. You know, I think I want to see a big upset here. I'd love West Brom to continue their form and just to somehow pull it out of the bag and stay up here. I'm also going to go with Sam Johnson to be man of the match. I think he's been very good. There's actually a rumour going around that Man United are looking at him to be their backup goalkeeper once either Henderson or De Gea leaves.
So, interesting.
Potentially bright things in the future. I think you're spot on, though. If West Brom do get relegated, I think he does deserve to be in the Premier League. And I think Callum Robinson might get another goal here. And I think Mateus Pereira, who I believe now has the same statistics as Jack Grealish this season in terms of goal return.
Oh, really?
Which is same goal contribution. Pretty crazy given how under the radar he's sort of gone. So he's maybe a bit of a risky pick here, but maybe, you know, high risk, high reward type situation.
I mean, we know your team's going for that now.
I don't have Pereira, he's too good for my team.
Jamie, how about yourself? How do you see this one finishing up?
Yeah, as I say, I fancy both teams to score, so I'm kind of drawn, to be honest. I think it would be easy for me to go with the favourite prediction, but yeah, I would quite like to see West Brom continue their run. As I say, I've been very impressed with them in the last couple of games, but you know, it goes without saying that guys like Pereira are going to need to turn up, Johnston's going to need to have a good game, and they're going to need to be clinical and take the chances when they come their way. But I think West Brom could sneak it, so I'll say an optimistic 2-1 win for the Baggies.
It'd be nice to see, especially because if Chelsea get the win over Brighton, that would do wonders for jumping into the top four. That's the three biggest games of the week out of the way. We're going to have a look at a few lesser games in this weekend's batch of fixtures with our next segment, Wildcard Options. And we're here with Wildcard Options. This is where we pick three games that didn't have as much depth to them as the premium picks did, but we still did want to mention them regardless. I'm actually going to start with our Brexit game of the week, because we've actually kind of solidified this in more of a segment now. Does anyone want to guess what the Brexit game of the week is, looking at the fixtures we've got?
Is it Mr. Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Mr. Sheffield United?
I don't know who Mr. Wolverhampton Wanderers is.
See, I was just about to say Mr. Nuno, and then I was like, should it be Espirito Santos? And then I suddenly thought, oh no, so I just randomly said
just give the whole name.
Is it Wolves versus Sheffield United?
It is true. To get to the end of that, it is. Because I was a bit kind of torn in terms of picking this game, because you look at Newcastle, West Ham, and you say those two names, and you automatically think, yeah, that's going to be a rubbish game of football. But West Ham are good. West Ham are good, and that game's actually one of our wildcard options. We'll get to that in a moment. So Wolves versus Sheffield United is not going to be a good game to watch. Wolves don't score goals. Sheffield United are bad. I might predict this to be a draw, if I'm being completely honest. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts, but I think this could be... This has 0-0 written all over it, if not a sly 1-0.
Yeah, 0-0 for me.
Yeah, I can't see any more than one solitary goal, and I think it'll probably be an own goal if there is to be one.
That'd be fitting of the cause, I suppose. Let's talk about a game that's actually going to be hopefully more interesting in Arsenal versus Fulham. I picked this. Struan made the point before we started recording. It's a London derby, you can kind of call it. But I picked it because Fulham were in good form, but recent weeks have kind of seen them drop behind the pack once again, and they're really, really going to need to start picking up results again to be able to get themselves out of the sticky situation they're in. But Arsenal are looking pretty decent, to be honest. Lacazette has picked up form from nowhere, and it's been much needed, especially considering the unfortunate news that Aubameyang, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, club captain, will be missing a few games as he was diagnosed with malaria away on international duty. So, Struan, would we start looking at Arsenal players for the back end of the season, potentially? And how do you see them going in this game?
I think so, definitely. I think Saka, Lacazette, Smith-Rowe, Pepe, Odegaard, I think they're all really solid shouts, to be honest, for the end of the season. And, yeah, I just think they'll almost just go hell for leather in these games in the league now. I think their season completely rests on the Europa League. So I think possibly they may start resting players in the league. It's sort of reminding me of the Jose Mourinho Man United season, where he basically, in the final 10 games, just sacrificed the league to just go all out for the Europa. And I have a similar feeling that could happen with Arsenal here. But I think your go-tos should be the likes of Lacazette. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. Saka is phenomenal as well. Smith-Rowe's been really good. And just, yeah, players like Odegaard, Pepe. I think I'd definitely go for Arsenal's attackers. I wouldn't go anywhere else on the Arsenal team, though.
No.
I wouldn't go for any of the defenders. I think Tierney would have been the only one. Now, with him being injured, I would avoid that. Leno, he's been quite shaky recently, a bit more this season than the last couple, and we know Arsenal can concede at any given point. So I think I'd mostly stick to Arsenal attackers if you're going for any of them in your fantasy team.
I've taken your advice before you've even given it, because I've brought Lacazette in as one of my transfers. Well, I've taken a -4 this week, and Lacazette is one of my transfers in. He'll be partnering Mr. Patrick Bamford up top for the Werner brothers this weekend. Just before we move on, how pleasing was that result last night in the Europa League?
Oh, that was... Do you know what? I think I celebrated the fourth Arsenal goal more than any of the United ones on the night.
It was just Arsenal scudding Slavia. Was beautiful.
What's actually quite funny is, randomly, I'd actually forgotten about the games kicking off. I was watching Community with my brother at the time, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my god, because I saw the Edinson Cavani goal had popped up, and I was like, oh my god, I totally forgot.
oh, we're winning. Oh, there's games on.
And then by that point, I think Arsenal had scored one, and then it got disallowed, and then that just all they've done there is anger them, basically.
Yeah, they poked the bear.
They just went for it. And it was absolutely fantastic. That is probably the most happy I've been to see a team other than the many that I support win a game this season. just every single time I go went in, it just made me smile more. I've just got so much respect for Lacazette at the moment.
The whole team, but Lacazette just walking straight to the centre circle, standing in front of that line of Slavia players and scoring two goals. Well,
I think it was absolutely phenomenal as well. Because, I mean, Slavia aren't, as much as we hate them, they're not that bad a side. They did put Leicester and Rangers out, and I think a few people had tweeted out saying that 1-0 draw was probably going to favour them in the second leg, but Arsenal just took them to pieces. It was absolutely fantastic.
To those people that said that, get up, yeah. let's move on before I say something I regret about one of these teams or the people that support them. Jamie, let's talk about Chelsea quickly. They are playing Brighton at home on Tuesday night, I believe, after their FA Cup semi-final on Saturday. Brighton have put in a few decent showings against Chelsea in the past. Do you think they probably were the better team in the reverse fixture at the start of the season, when it took that Reece James thunderbolt to kind of break the duck? And the game before that and the one-all draw, that Johan Bash overhead kick to earn themselves a point on New Year's Day in 2020. And Brighton are in pretty decent form. They're picking up some decent results on their way to the end of the season. But we saw a much more competent and ruthless Chelsea against Crystal Palace last weekend. And sure, they lost to Porto midweek, but they managed that game really well up until another overhead kick undid them, and it didn't matter in the end because they got through. So how do you see it playing out? Do you think we will see a more similar Chelsea to what we saw last weekend, or do we think we'll see a Chelsea that's a bit more reserved and kind of conservative, especially after they will have arguably a bigger game to play on the Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've just been playing in Europe, and then you're going to that game against Wembley, against Manchester City. So I think a lot will depend on how we get on against Manchester City at the weekend. I think Thomas Tuchel will rotate his starting 11 for the Brighton game. Give some of the players a rest probably, but that's fine. You know, Chelsea, you've got guys like Tammy Abraham, Giroud. I imagine Werner will play through the middle against Manchester City, so hopefully we'll see Ollie G or Tammy Abraham against Brighton and Hove Albion. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily looking forward to it, but yeah. I think it should be an interesting game. Brighton are kind of fighting for their lives down there, really. I think Brighton are probably kind of 3 or 4 points away from probably securing their place in the Premier League for next season. So yeah, I think every game's massive for them. They don't score many, but they don't really concede many either. So I think it'll be a tight game, but I'll give you a kind of 1-0 Chelsea. A tight, scrappy game, but we'll come through it.
I would definitely take it, considering how much Chelsea are looking to push up until the top four come the end of the season. Finally, we're going to take a quick look at Newcastle West Ham, as we just said. I mean, again, it kind of seems to be the case. Newcastle have had a bit more rub of the green in recent weeks, but West Ham are just looking fantastic. There's no really other word for it. The Jesse Lingard resurgence train rolls on. That was 2 goals he scored last week against Leicester, and the first week I'd brought him into my fantasy team, so I appreciated it. It's just true, and you can kind of take your pick from West Ham players to include in your team now, can't you?
Yeah, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, that almost every single player in that West Ham starting 11 is a good fantasy pick, because they all seem to score goals. They don't really have that Harry Kane, you know, that one player in particular who's gonna back the goals. I think that probably is Lingard at the moment, but I think, you know, both of their fullbacks come up with assists, their centre halves, Ogbonna, Dawson, come up with goals, you know, Fabianski can keep a clean sheet, Declan Rice is on penalties, Suchet comes up with so many goals out of nowhere, Fernandes, Bowen, Aldi's lot, they all come up with them, and then Antonio and Lingard, you know, they're probably the most prolific in the team as well. So I think you're almost spoiled for choice if you're gonna pick a West Ham player. Just any position in your fantasy that you're lacking, I think just look for a West Ham alternative, because they're quite cheap as well.
I think that was my other transfer this week, because I said I made a -4. I brought in Koufal ahead of Tyrone Mings for this game week, because I could see a West Ham win away at
I think he has the most assists of right backs this season, and I think he might actually be the top assisting fullback at the moment in general.
Really?
Which I think has gone completely under the radar. Yeah, he's definitely... I'll double check as we speak right now, but I think Cresswell is the highest.
Cresswell's the highest, yeah.
Followed by Luka Digne.
Well, highest assistant defender. I mean, defender. better than most midfielders.
And then it's Koufal after Digne. Well, Koufal is tied with Robertson, Luke Shaw. Just Robertson and Luke Shaw, who are both on 5 as well. So I think that's quite incredible that the West Ham fullbacks are outshining the Liverpool fullbacks.
I mean, it'll be tough because they're missing Cresswell this weekend, I believe, unless he might come back into it. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm looking forward to that game, which it seems so odd to say I'm looking forward to a game between West Ham and Newcastle, because everything that I've kind of come to associate with football tells me don't look forward to that game. But
I think there's even more riding on it that John Joe Shelby saying that they're just as good. I think that's massive, really.
I mean, they're just not, though, are they?
I mean, you just can't say so, can you?
Would you take anyone from Newcastle and put them in West Ham's team?
I think, Saint-Maximin, honestly, at the moment, yes, Saint-Maximin, I think you could make a case for. And the only other one I think there is a case for are Darlow and Dubravka being as good as Fabianski. Not necessarily better, but I think that would be a 50-50. You know, you could have either.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I don't think there's another player. Joe Willock's looked really good, but true. Again,
would you
I think
have
I'd
my head
Rice,
at Suchek or
Noble,
Rice? Yeah.
I'd have Suchek. I'd have Lingard.
You'd have Noble. Oh well, I don't know about that.
Well, in a defensive sense, sorry, probably a wrong option there. But yeah, I think you know I respect him for making a comment like that. I think that'll probably fire the team up, but I just don't think any. You know, I made the point when before the air that maybe Cam Wilson, but I think you're quite right, Jack, in saying that Antonio is just so much better for the way that West Ham play.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just don't think there is another one.
Well, there we go. That's probably the only player we would include. That brings an end to wildcard options for this week. We are going to be back with our final segment, where we look at the best players that you could pick for this week in Locked in 11. And we'll wrap up the show with Locked in 11. This is where we look at games we've talked about, games we haven't, to pull all the best players together for you to get the best point haul in this weekend of fantasy. We start with goalkeepers and defenders at the same time because they both benefit from clean sheet points. Jamie, I'll come to you first because you've actually got a normal team. So who are you backing to keep clean sheets this weekend?
Well, I've got Ederson as the goalie. The sub-goalie was Robert Sanchez, and he, along with my other two Brighton players, are all on the bench because I do think that they'll be pretty useless this weekend. Famous last words. I do think Chelsea will beat Brighton. So in goals, I've got Ederson, and my back three is Harry Maguire, Rob Holding, and Matt Target, unfortunately. Aaron Cresswell's injury. Aaron Cresswell would have been in there, but obviously, as you say, he's injured, so no space for him, and I used my transfers elsewhere. So hoping that Aston Villa and Man City is 0-0, because I don't want him to get an assist because I've got Ederson in goals. So a 0-0 would be perfect.
I don't think I would mind that, because I think I'll need to double-check my team, but I've not got any City attackers, so I would happily take a 0-0. Go on, Struan. Tell the people who's in your back line then. And explain why you've picked them as part of the meme team.
I'll just make a point quickly. By calling these meme team, I'm not saying that these are bad players, but I'm just saying that they don't generally tend to get you points in fantasy. So my goalkeeper is Bailey Peacock Farrell of Burnley. I believe he's currently in place of Nick Pope. So I've gone for him. I was going to go for Pickford, who's my other goalkeeper, but I think he's injured at the moment. I've got a back three of Ben Mee, Tarkovsky. I chose them two because Burnley centre-backs are pretty good, to be fair. But at the same time, you know, I think a lot of people joke about Burnley being a big Brexit team, and they're good centre-backs. So, yeah, and the other one is Marcus Alonso, who we all thought was finished at Chelsea. We all thought he was done. Ben Chilwell looked miles better. Alonso would probably have left the season. And then Tuchel came in, and all of a sudden Alonso looked like the left wing back that we saw under Conte and is actually quite good again. So he's in my defence as well. And I've also got on the bench Rob Holding and super duper Liam Cooper.
I myself am backing Ederson in goal. As per, I have Meslier on my bench, but was not going to play him on the Liverpool, despite what might have already said. I've also got Aaron Wan-Bissaka at home to Burnley, Azpilicueta of Chelsea at home to Brighton and Hove Albion, and Newman Kufal away to Newcastle, with João Cancelo and Ola Aina riding the bench. Could be a couple of you might want to pick up maybe a Nelson Semedo or Connor Cody, someone at Wolves, home to Sheffield United, maybe Eric Dier, a Spurs defender, if you want to chance that. I mean, they've got two games, so who knows. Other than that, I think that's kind of your whack for defences. Let's move to midfield then, Struan.
So I've got Lingard. Again, he's
good.
Absolutely
that's,
fantastic
that's
at
good.
The moment. But I think a lot of people had sort of written him off over the last couple of years when he was at United before he came to West Ham, and I think a lot of people doubted he'd make it. I've gone for Alex Iwobi. He's another one of these players who quite often gets called a flop and probably hasn't lived up to expectations, of course, when he was once at Arsenal. I've also got Granit Xhaka in the midfield. Yeah, and Pablo Fernals, who has sort of been one of these players we've had running jokes about in this show, when he's suddenly turned up. He is quite a good player, though. I do feel that my two West Ham players in Fornals and Lingard are probably cheating, because I do expect them to actually get...
They're actually all right. Yeah, they're not awful.
To be honest, I think the same with the Burnley centre-halves. I think they'll be quite good to me.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, I mean, at home to Man United, I'm not sure they will be this week, but in time.
It's quite awkward now, actually. I'm just looking at it. I've got Peacock, Farrell and the two Burnley centre-halves, so I'm really going to have to be hoping for a Burnley clean sheet against United.
I mean...
Oh, that's...
Probably won't happen. That's not worth it, will it?
But I mean, if it does, goodness me, you're laughing. You're
yeah.
Right to the top of the league.
You're right.
You know what? It's a win-win. Either my team wins or my fantasy team picks up the points. That's...
If it does happen, you've played an absolute blinder.
Potentially.
Jamie, how about yourself? Who's in your midfield this week?
In my midfield, I've got a 3-4-3 formation. So one of my two transfers, actually. James Maddison came into my team in place of Thomas Suchek. I know Maddison was out for a little bit, but he seems to be back in now. And I do think there'll be goals in that game against West Brom. And I think if Leicester are going to kind of get past West Brom, they'll need Madison's creativity. I've also got Lingard, Bruno Fernandes, and Heung-Min Son as well. Double game.
Nice.
He's my second transfer, bringing Son back in. He was in my team, then I took him out, and he's come back in again.
Good choice. I myself am going for 5 in the midfield, and it's completely unchanged to what it was last week. Captain Bruno Fernandes at home to Burnley, Mason Mount at home to Brighton, Jesse Lingard away to Newcastle, Diogo Jota away to Leeds, and Bukayo Saka at home to Fulham after he put in a very, very good performance last night in the Europa League. Thought I'd keep him in. Let's finish up with strikers. Jamie, who's getting a goal this weekend?
Captain Kane for me. He wears the armband. Lacazette also in there. I would maybe normally have been a little reluctant. I thought they might have rotated after the game in Prague. Well, was the game in Prague? Yeah, it would have been. The game in Prague last night. But now Aubameyang is out, I'm not really sure they can. So I think Lacazette will lead the line, and I think he'll find a target. I've also got Chris Wood. But, I mean, that was one for last week. He got 5 points last week. That was my transfer last week. Brought in Chris Wood, and he got an assist in the defeat to Newcastle. But, yeah, I don't expect him to do much at Old Trafford. But the bench is all over the place really this week. Chris Wells on the bench. He's injured. And I've got the 3 Brighton players who are all at Stamford Bridge. So, yeah, team's a bit of a mess this week, to be fair. But that's my strikers.
Lovely stuff. Struan. You've still got him, don't you?
I've still got Joelinton, who we brought in last week. I've also gone for Neil Mopey, as Brighton don't tend to score often, and there's always that joke about, you know, hope Brighton get relegated, Neil Mopey's a cheat. And my captain, my guy, Timo Werner.
You're relentless.
Who I think could have a blinder. Do you know what, right? See, knowing my luck, Timo Werner will go and score 2 or 3 goals against Man City in the FA Cup and just do nothing against Brighton.
That'd be really funny.
Or he'll score against Real Madrid in the Champions League. He'll do something like that.
I don't think they'll play him against Brighton. I don't think he'll play against Brighton,
If he plays Saturday, I don't know.
Part of me feels he'll get rested for the City game and he'll maybe play against Brighton. Do you think maybe given Pulisic,
vice versa? I think they'll play him against. I think they'll play him against City and rest him against Brighton. But that's just my opinion.
It would be quite good against Cancelo.
You've taken a -48. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
So is that 13 transfers?
12, I think.
Well, who's still in your team that wasn't?
So the only players who are still in who weren't there to begin with are Werner and Joelinton. Everyone else is new.
So 13, but one of them was a free transfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, that's fine. Uh-huh. So can I ask, why did you make that many? Because obviously you've only got 11 players, so you've brought in 2 people that are just going to be on the bench.
Because it has to be an entire meme team. It can't be a meme team and then some really good players, because I can't risk good players coming off the bench. Even though I did cheat, though, because I put McTominay in my team and he's my favourite player, so I did cheat a little bit. So it had to be full. I had to fully commit to this. It wasn't going to be some half attempted joke players. Like, I'm not saying these players, I keep making this point, I'm not slagging these players off or saying they're bad, but in fantasy they don't generally tend to get you that many points. So my hope is now that at the end of the season, or at least one game week, I'll finish higher points than anyone. And if I do, it'll be quite funny. Just a game week.
Oh no, you're right. It will be really funny. I'll give you that.
Brilliant. That's why I believe that the name of the meme team is just brilliant.
Well, I mean, it'll be an easy title for this episode in terms of the meme team. You've given me that at least. No, I'll wrap up. Lacazette and Bamford for me, already said it earlier, so I back them both to hopefully get a goal. Bamford might assist, who knows, but I'm quite confident in Lacazette for the rest of the season, which I did not think I would say at the start of the campaign, but here we are. That is going to bring this episode of the Fantasy Ramble to an end. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure to subscribe to the Ramble wherever you get your podcast to make sure new episodes show up automatically on your feed, and follow us over on Twitter at Fantasy Ramble to make sure you don't miss notifications of an episode when it comes out. Thank you very much to Struan and Jamie for joining me today. Make sure to check out the Football Roundup on Monday and Extra Time next Thursday before we return on Friday as usual. Until then, my name is Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble by Energy Sport. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.